Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you all this morning. Good to see some people we didn't see over the weekend. Glad you could make it today. Great to have you here. And it's been a pleasure for us to be with you. And thank you, Pastor Chris, for the invitation. And I want to honor you and Mariel as well for your faithfulness and your commitment to the cause. People like you who've run the race and leading others into that place that God wants for them. So I'd like you to honor your pastors this morning as well. Would you do that? Give them a big round of applause. Heather and I have enjoyed our time here, and I was just sitting there this morning and watching our African brother there sharing. I thought next Sunday I will have one other white guy with me. And the rest will be black because I'll be in Ghana in West Africa. Anybody heard of Ghana? Yeah, cool, good. So I'll be heading there on Thursday and then doing a conference there. And then after Ghana, I'll head down to South Africa. So I'll be with a number of our churches in both of those countries. So it's good to be able to come and share this weekend with you. And as Pastor Chris said, all we want is that people encounter God. It's just about meeting with God, encountering God. This is not just a Sunday service. If it is, I pray it will turn into something much more than that. Because being a Christian is not about going to a church meeting. It's about living a new life that's only available in Jesus Christ. Try over here. Thank you. This is better over here. I'll go for that. Even though he's a Hawthorne fan, I'm still going to love him and what have you. But so for me, you know, the meeting is just the climax of a weekend, of a week where I've been walking with God and serving God and enjoying fellowship with him and partnering with him and aligning myself to the Holy Spirit. And I just get to come on a Sunday generally or a Saturday sometimes in places and meet with others who hopefully have done the same. Because this is a journey. This is not an event once a week. This is a journey, and this is just part of the journey. This is just part of the journey. Amen. This is just part of the journey. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm going to be in Africa next week. Man, you can hardly hear yourself preach there. They shout so much. And even our home church here in Melbourne, you know, there's a lot of noise. I like a lot of noise. How many of you know God doesn't mind noise? Those of you who don't like loud music, you might not be able to go to heaven. It's going to be pretty loud up there. There's going to be a few million people singing up there. It's going to be a bit noisy, folks, I tell you that. Hallelujah. I mean, there might be a quiet section for some of you. I don't know. I haven't studied that much. But I want it to be noisy. I like noise. I think God likes noise, you know. He creates noise. Actually, God created noise. Did you know God created sound? Sorry, I didn't mean to go really deep before I even start preaching. We have a few products and resources up at the back still. I just wanted to mention a couple to you. This booklet called Living in Victory. How many of you want to live in victory? So it's like at the conference, about 50%. How many want to live in defeat? Yeah. I knew that would get you. Hallelujah. Well, shame on you. So for those who want to live in defeat, I am actually writing a book about that at the moment. So we'll try and release that for the next time I'm here, so you could get that. But this is actually for those that want to live in victory. That was really good. I just knew I'd catch some of you. But thank you for your good response anyway. So this is just lots of scriptures where the Bible tells us that we're meant to live in victory. Not meant to live without challenge, but in the challenges we live in victory. The power of words, I'm going to talk a little bit about this today. But the power of words, lots of scriptures in there, again, speaking God's word rather than what you think or feel. There's a booklet here called Hospitality Horrors. This is just a few stories of some of my travels around the West, not in Africa and other places, but in the West, and some of the places where we weren't hosted very well, and some of the outcomes of that, and then talking about honor. One of the young ladies I mentor in Singapore, who's sort of on leadership in a church up there, she messaged me yesterday and said, I'm going to be preaching tomorrow on honor. And she said it's been one of the hardest things to study for because, you know, the Bible places incredible emphasis on honoring. That's not elevate into a position above us, but it means we recognize and acknowledge what God's doing. That's why I recognize and acknowledge your pastor and Mariel there today, because I want to honor them. It's good to honor people. Good to give honor where it's due. It's good to give honor where it's due. Sorry, I forgot. It's good to give honor where it's due. Yeah. So those booklets up there. We have some USBs. If you're not sure what a USB is, it's this. How many can't see it? See something? But this has lots of sermons on it that I've preached. And this one is on wholeness. And I believe that God wants us to be well and healthy in spirit, soul, and body. And so this is a session, a series I taught somewhere in Melbourne not long ago. So if you want to get hold of that. And then this one is a free one. How many love free things? So you always get a lot more animation when you offer free stuff. But this is just a little brochure called Gifts for Change. This is just part of what we do in Africa. We have all sorts of community transformation initiatives taking place in Africa. We work with the government there in certain projects as well, and so on. And there are ways that even $10 from someone can make a difference in a life or two. We support pastors. We pay their monthly salaries. We have clean water projects. We have feeding programs. We have a microfinance program running where we've helped over 500 people start their own businesses and come out of poverty and all those sorts of things. So if you want to have a look at that, that will give you a bit of information. Okay. Now, I'm told we have to finish by one because we've got to get to Digger's Rest. That was nervous laughter, wasn't it? You better be kidding, mate. But, you know, when you say something like that, it gets people praying. Maybe people who haven't prayed all week, they start praying. Oh, God, make him finish sooner. So at least I've encouraged you to pray. Okay, I want to talk for a short time. How many love that when the pastor says short time? How many know he doesn't mean it? I want to talk about breakthroughs. Everybody say breakthroughs. We've been talking all weekend about going deeper and not settling for less than all that God has for us. And God wants to take us to another level. God wants to take you to another level. Wherever you're at today, it's not where you're meant to stay. You're meant to go to another level. You're meant to go to another place. There's always more in God. And he wants us to break through to new places in our own lives and in our relationship with him. If you have a Bible, 2 Samuel 5 and verse 20. David, having had a wonderful victory against his enemies, he shares this in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 20. The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water. So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means Master of Breakthroughs. Everybody say Master of Breakthroughs. He's the Master of Breakthroughs. Not just one. It's not just I get a breakthrough once in my life, but continually. There's a continuum that we are meant to be breaking through continually in every area of our lives. So when we get a breakthrough from a situation, we get freedom, we get released, we get healed. That's not the end of it. Now God's setting us up for the next breakthrough and the next breakthrough. He's the master. He's the Lord of breakthroughs. Breaking through to new levels of intimacy with him, and we all desperately need that. Breaking through to new levels of connection with Holy Spirit. And this is a Pentecostal church. We should be breaking through constantly to new levels of connection with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not someone we just acknowledge is around. He's someone who wants to be effective and active in our lives day after day after day, moment by moment. As you're driving around, he wants to be connected with you. As you go to work, he wants to be there with you. As you go in the supermarket, he wants to be there with you. You see, if you're Pentecostal, it's not just about speaking in tongues. That's actually just one of the side benefits. Having Holy Spirit is about being empowered to do life in a totally different way. So when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's not just an experience, it's actually an encounter that then should lead us into a new way of doing life. Somebody said amen. Amen. And so we're meant to live with an ongoing connection with Holy Spirit. And so God wants us to keep breaking through to new levels of connection with him. Breaking through to new levels of service in the church. How many like the word serving? That's what I thought, not many. See, Holy Spirit will empower you to serve in the church, not have to be asked, but go and offer. How can I help? What can I do? Where can I serve? Can I clean the windows? Can I look after the older folk? Can I deliver meals? Can I lay out the chairs? Can I pick up the rubbish after people? And whatever. And what? because that's all part of our breaking through into new levels of service for the Lord and new levels of impact in our community. I shared through this weekend. How many of you want this church to grow numerically? Keep your hand up. Well, here's your charge. Here's the charge. Go win someone to Jesus. You've all put your hand down. All right, I changed my mind, didn't I? I don't care if it grows or not now. I thought it was up to Pastor Chris. No, it's up to you. It's not up to him. I shared through the weekend again. If you were here, my apologies if I repeat a couple of things, but it's worth saying again. This church will grow as the members, each part of the church, does its part in reaching out to others. This is not about... See, this is a... Oh, dear, I'm getting sidetracked again, but I need to say this. We have our prayer meetings, and we pray, God, would you bring people in? I want to tell you, this is going to offend somebody, I'm sure. That is the wrong prayer. You're not going to get that answered. Thank you. You sit in a prayer meeting and say, oh, God, would you bring someone on Sunday? Wrong prayer, folks. Wrong prayer. How do I know that? Well, because Jesus didn't say, sit in your prayer meeting and pray, I'll bring people in. Jesus said, go. Turn to someone and go. Say, go. Say, not yet. Wait a few minutes. Because a couple of you got up and said, oh, hallelujah, I'm out early today. He said, go. So we sit in our church prayer meeting saying, oh, God, would you bring them in? And he says, no, I told you to go get them. And that's why you receive Holy Spirit empowerment, so that as you're connected with him through the week, when an unsaved person, a non-follower Jesus Christ, says, I don't feel well, you pray for them, they encounter God, and they want to know more. Or someone's going through a marriage breakup or something, and you offer help and counsel and just love on them and offer grace without judgment, and you care for them, they want to know what's that about. I was sharing our church in England, which we had back in the 80s. How many were alive in the 80s? How many wish they were alive now? I'm just checking, because some of you look like you might not be real. But 90% of the people that were added to our church were added Monday to Saturday, not in our Sunday meetings. We would come every Sunday, literally, pretty much every Sunday we would come and new people were in the church service. Not because we'd invited them to come just then, but because our church had ministered to them through the week and led them to Jesus. And that's how the church is going to grow. And so Holy Spirit wants to empower you to do that. How many are excited about that? Just a few, okay. Well, even a few can make a difference. Hallelujah. So God wants us to break through. So I want to share just a couple of thoughts on breaking through. We need to break through by staying focused on our relationship with God. We started on Friday night talking about the priority. The priority is relationship with God. And we break through by staying focused on our relationship with God, not focused on our problems. We don't break through because we think about our problems all day and talk about our problems all day. We break through because we focus on Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We stay focused on him. How do you pursue relationship with him? Some people say, how do I do that? Well, it's like any relationship. How do you build any relationship? It's by dialogue. It's by sharing. It's by listening. It's by talking. It's by spending time. It's by inviting them into your world and you going into their world, showing interest and connection. That's exactly what you do with Jesus. That's why your pastors will teach on prayer and the word and meeting with other Christians, not because they're trying to make you come into religion. They're trying to help you see that you break through when you practice those disciplines, because it helps you connect further with God. It helps you to connect deeper with God. So we have to connect. We have to listen. And how many of you know it's easy to be distracted? Sorry, some of you weren't listening. How many of you know it's easy to be distracted? Even sitting in a church meeting, you can be distracted, right? I know some of you are not actually making notes on your phone. You're just updating your Facebook status. It's so easy to get distracted. This was actually brought home to me many years ago when I was preaching in Sydney. I'd flown up there, and my brother was, he still is now, but he was living there, and then he went back to England and came back. But he was living there, so I'd borrowed his car, and we'd gone to church in one of the suburbs in Sydney to minister. And after the morning meeting, we had a great time, and the pastor said, I want to take you for lunch, but I've got to drop a couple of people home, so I want you to follow me, which sounded simple enough. So he said, I want you to follow me on the road. So until we got to the edge of the car park and turned onto the main road, it was quite easy to follow him. But once we got out on the main road, he became a lunatic. None of you would know what that is like, driving. No, of course not. But he started to drive down this road, and he's one of those drivers, he's weaving in and out. Going in and out of traffic, cutting on the inside, coming around the outside. And then we went onto this four-lane highway, and he gets out into the outside lane, but that's not going fast enough, so he cuts across, and I've got to do the same. So we're weaving in and out, and he's out here and out there. I don't know where he's going to go, so I've got to stay with him, so I'm weaving in and out as well. That's actually when I found out how friendly they are in Sydney. Because I started to realize that they were waving at me. No, it was a new wave to me because they weren't using all their fingers. So I waved back, using all my fingers. And we're weaving in and out, and then he goes to the outside lane. And so I don't know even what speed we're doing. We're shooting down this outside lane, and suddenly he cuts across all the lane to turn left. So I've got to do the same. And again, friendly waves from a lot of drivers. And we come down this road, and we're going along this road, and we come to this big roundabout. And at that moment, my wife saw something. And she said to me, look at that, as we're coming to the roundabout. Now, being an obedient husband, as you know, Ephesians teaches, husbands, submit to your wives as unto the Lord. That's what it says in my version anyway. I don't mess with this. How many of you know the husband's the head, but the wife's the neck? And so she said, look at that. So being obedient, I immediately looked at that. I couldn't even remember what it was that she told me to look at, but I looked at it. And when I looked back, the pastor had disappeared. And immediately I thought, I did get my theology wrong. He's gone, I'm still here. So we're sitting there thinking, what do we do now? Where's he gone? So I thought, well, I'll just sort of go around the roundabout and I'll keep going straight down the road, and maybe one day the pastor will look in the rearview mirror and realize I'm not there. And so we kept driving. And as we're driving, minding our own business, Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly and said, see how easily you're distracted. And I thought, what a cheek. She made me do it, and you're getting on my case. That's exactly what went through her mind. And I'm looking at Heather, and she's got a nice little grin on her face, and I thought, what a blinking cheek that is. She's all sitting there happy, and I'm getting into trouble with the Holy Spirit because I obeyed her. But it started to spark something in me about how easily we're distracted. The priority of loving God, and yet we can be distracted. The priority of walking in connection and communion with the Holy Spirit, but we can be distracted. We get distracted by life, by situation, by circumstance, by events, by things that happen, and yet we have to learn how to be focused on the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 25 in the Message Bible says this, ignore all sideshow distractions. Ignore all sideshow distractions. In other words, don't get distracted by things that aren't that important. It's not that things are not important, but they're not more important than your relationship with God. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. I'll try it again. Nothing is more important than your relationship with God. That's the priority. Don't get distracted. Yeah, but I got this in my life. Yeah, it's secondary to your relationship with God. Yeah, but I have to do that. Yes, but it's secondary to your relationship with God. Your priority must always be relationship with God. And the Bible says don't be distracted. So number one, stay focused on your relationship with God. Number two, we break through by praise and worship. We break through by praise and worship. Praise shifts the atmosphere. Praise shifts the atmosphere. If you guys are going to help me, you can come up. Praise shifts the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. I learned this years ago. You know, you can complain. A lot of Christians call that praying. Oh, God, it's not fair. Oh, God, it's so hard. Oh, God, why me, Lord? Hallelujah. Amen. That's not actually praying, that's just whinging. But praise will shift the atmosphere. It changes the atmosphere. When you choose to praise instead of complain, something shifts. Something happens. There's a couple of guys called Paul and Silas. And Paul was preaching his heart out. He was doing everything he should. He was just following and obeying God, just doing everything he wanted them to do. God wanted him to do. He was preaching, and for all his reward, he got beaten up. The people attacked him. And on this particular account that I'm referring to, Paul and Silas are taken a hold of. They're beaten up, actually knocked unconscious, and the Bible says they were thrown into the inner prison. That's not like a prison today. No, I've never had to be an inmate of a prison, but I've visited plenty of people in prison. It's not like the prisons today. This was a dirty, dark, smelly, horrible place, like a dungeon that they're just thrown into. Couldn't see much further than the end of their nose. The stench would have been horrendous. And this was Paul's reward for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if he'd been like me, he would have said, "Oh, it's not fair, God. I've given my life to you, and do you allow this to happen? Why would you do that?" No, see, Paul understood there's a difference. When you begin to praise, you shift the atmosphere. When you complain, you stay in that same place. And so Paul and Silas are unconscious, and it comes to a certain point where they're in the inner dungeon, and they kind of regain consciousness, and Paul, as he comes around, he says, "Silas, are you here? Are you here, Silas?" He can't see him. It's so dark. And Silas says, "Yeah, I'm over here, Paul. How are you doing?" "Well, not so good. What happened?" "Well, you were preaching and they didn't like it, so they beat you up, knocked you unconscious and threw you in prison." Now, at that point, you make a choice. You see, whatever's going on in your life, you make a choice in your situation. You make a choice in your circumstance. At that point of decision, you choose, will I stay subject to the problem or will I now shift the atmosphere? Will I change the atmosphere? Will I now focus on the Lord? And so Paul and Silas, they're sitting, and Paul says, "Silas, what were we singing just before I blacked out? We were worshiping. What was that song? I can't remember. They must have thumped me so hard. I can't remember what it was." And Paul and Silas says, "Oh, Paul, you should remember it. It was a Planet Shakers song. Remember we were singing it? It was called Turn It Up.
Our praise goes on. Your rain comes down."
They began to sing.
"Our praise goes on. Your rain comes down."
Come on, join with me. It's very simple. Our praise.
"Our praise goes on. Your rain comes down."
Come on, why don't you stand to your feet and just begin to praise for a moment.
"Our praise comes on. Your rain comes down."
Our praise. Come on, lift your praise. Begin to lift your praise. Begin to lift your praise.
"Your rain comes down."
As you lift your praise, his blessings
praise
come down.
Goes on.
As you praise, then he begins to shift
your
the atmosphere.
"Rain comes down."
Let's do it again.
"Our praise goes up. Your rain comes down."
Our praise goes up. Let your praise goes up. Let your praise go up right now. Let your praise go up right now. Let it go. Let it go again.
"Our praise goes up.
I'm lifting my praise, Lord. I'm lifting my praise. I'm lifting my praise. And as I do, your rain representing Holy Spirit comes down.
Our praise goes up. Your rain comes down."
Now what's happening as we're doing this? Stay standing for a moment. What's happening now? We're shifting the atmosphere. We're shifting the atmosphere. You see, you may have still have a problem. Like Paul and Silas, they were still in prison. They were still in the dungeon, but they're shifting the atmosphere. They're shifting their environment. They're not living under the problem. They're not living under the environment. They're changing the environment. And so they sang again. They kept singing. "Our praise goes up. Your rain comes down. Our praise goes up.
Your rain comes
As we sing again, let his rain come on you, the rain of the Spirit, the rain of his presence, the rain of his blessing.
Your rain comes down.
Once more, let's do it.
praise goes on. Your rain comes down.
Hallelujah. 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 Thanks, guys. You can take your seats. Our praise goes up. Thank you. Our praise goes up. Did that change the natural? No, they were still in prison. They praised and it shifted the atmosphere. And see, God got excited. Because here's a couple of guys, instead of complaining about their problems, instead of complaining about what had happened, instead of getting angry and upset with God, they shifted the atmosphere. Instead of saying, oh, it's not fair, it's not right, all I was doing was preaching the gospel, why would I have to suffer because I did that? Instead of going down that track, they decided to shift and focus on the Lord. And they said, we're going to praise you, and we're going to praise you. And as we praise you, the rain of your spirit comes down, the rain of your presence, the rain of your power is released into this environment, into this atmosphere, and it began to shift. And God gets excited. See, John 4, Jesus said, Father's looking for worshippers. Not those who only thank me when I've done something, but those who will worship me, even if it looks like nothing's happening. I'm looking for true worshippers, worshippers in spirit and in truth, not worshippers dependent on what happens to them, but worshippers just because I'm worthy and they are my children. I'm looking for real worshippers. And so God gets excited, Paul and Silas singing in prison. And the Bible says in Psalms that the earth is the footstool of the Lord. How many of you have read that before? The earth is the footstool of the Lord. And so God loves that song by Planet Shakers. And so he gets excited and he begins to tap his foot. And because he's tapping his foot, the earth begins to shake because the earth is his footstool. And the earth begins to shake. And what happens? Doors come open. Prison doors come open. Come on, prison doors come open. Why? Why? Because they plead, bargain, weep, whinge? No, because they praise. Because they shift the atmosphere. Instead of living under the situation, they rise above it through their praise. They don't deny they're still in prison. They just are not focused on that issue. They're focused on God. Because even when you're in prison, he's still God. Even when you've got a problem, he's still God. Even when you're facing an issue, he's still God. And so we choose to praise. And when you praise, it lifts you up into that spiritual realm. So no longer are you bound by the prison. You're now focused on him. And what happens is he gets so excited with your attitude that he sets the prison doors to come open. He brings freedom. So you want freedom from an issue, stop complaining about it. Begin to praise God. You want to get free from that prison of fear and doubt? Stop focusing on it. Stop worrying about it. Begin to praise him. And when you praise him, he gets excited because he says, look, even in the situation. See, lots of Christians will thank God after the miracle, but he wants you to thank him before the miracle. He wants you to praise him before the prison door opens. He wants you to praise him when the doctor says, we're not sure what we're going to do. Instead of going into a dungeon, you come into a place of praise. 6 years ago, I was sitting opposite a doctor and they told me, you have colon cancer. And it's very aggressive. We're not sure how long you got left to live. Now, at that moment, 6 years ago, I had a choice. Am I going to live in the prison or am I going to praise God? So I just looked at the doctor and said, well, thank you for telling me, but, you know, God is God and I trust him. And we began our journey. And I went home and told Heather, and she's got the same heart as me. We just said, well, let's praise God. We told our children. They've been raised in faith and praise and worship. And they just said, well, Dad, we believe God's a healer, and we believe that you're going to get healed of this. And praise God, I'm here today. Glory to God. Praise God. But we had to make a choice. Are we going to whinge? Are we going to moan? Oh, God, I've served you for... Back then, it was, what, 36 years of 35 years? I've given everything I've got and you've allowed this. What? No, we chose. No, we're not doing that. We're going to shift the atmosphere. We're not going into despair. We're going to keep praising him. Because you know, whatever happens in my body, he's still worthy to be praised. Amen. Whatever goes off in my life, he's still a good God. Amen. He's always worthy to be praised. Can I tell you, God is always worthy to be praised. Whether you've got money in the bank, he's worthy to be praised. If you have no money in the bank, he's worthy to be praised. If you're battling some problem right now, he's still worthy to be praised. He's still a good God. He never changes. Hallelujah. And we can choose to focus on him and to move into praise and worship. You want a breakthrough? You've got to praise and worship. Stop moaning about it. praise and worship. The third thing, if we're going to break through, we've got to move to new levels of faith. You know, the longer we follow Christ, if we're not careful, we can begin to settle. We begin to get into a comfort zone of where we walk with God, how we walk with God. We can become apathetic. We can just kind of get, well, I'll just do the minimum. God wants us to go to the maximum in Him. We need to continually develop our faith. Be willing to step further than you've gone before. That's what we've been talking about all weekend, deeper. That means we're willing to go further than we've been. Wherever I was last night, I want to go deeper, I want to go further. That's been my passion over 41 years of serving God. I'm so grateful for everything I've seen, everything God allows me to do and participate in. But you know, there's a hunger in my heart. I want to go deeper. I want to go further. There's more. There's always more. There's always more. There's always more. Even if it's only in my relationship with Him, there's always more. Even if He doesn't do another miracle for me the rest of my life, I'm going to worship Him and keep pushing after Him and press into Him because there's always more in Him. Hallelujah. We got to be pioneers, not settlers. And faith comes by hearing the word and speaking the word and doing the word. See, when you speak God's word, whatever's happening, you walk in victory. That's why we put these booklets out. We make next to nothing on these booklets, folks. It's not about making money. If I could make a lot of money off them, I'd put a lot more out. We don't do that. But we want people to speak the word. Because faith comes by hearing the word. And when you speak the word, you build into your spirit. You build yourself up. You build faith. Thank you, Father. When the doctor tells me that this is terminal, I know by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. That you are the Lord who heals me. You shouted and declared through that Jesus died on the cross. And by His stripes I'm healed. I'm claiming that. I'm walking in that. And you lift yourself into another atmosphere, another environment, another level. But you've got to use this. So what are you saying? Some people say, well, things will get worse. And you know what? They're right for them. It's funny. Some people say, you say to someone, what did you expect from the meeting this morning? Nothing. What did you get? Nothing. Well, praise God. That's what you believe for. Isn't God good? Well, I got nothing out of that. Well, what did you expect? Nothing. Well, hallelujah. You see, you exactly what you expected. So if you came to this meeting this morning expecting nothing, you'll go home with nothing. Glory be to God. Don't blame the pastor. That's your problem, not his. I come with expectancy. I thought, well, if I don't end up preaching today, it doesn't bother me in the least. I come to meet God. I come to encounter God. I'm not worried whether I preach or not. I just want to meet with God. I want to encounter God. I want my life to be changed again today to another level. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And there's power in what you say. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life in the power of your tongue, your tongue, your tongue. It's not, oh, well, he said to me. Well, maybe they did, but the power is in your tongue. What did you say? What are you saying? If you're saying, well, I'll probably get worse, you're probably right. Because there's power. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of your tongue. Another version says that by your tongue, you either eat poison or fruit. You choose. So what are you saying? Well, things will never change. Well, for you, they'll never change. Because there's power in your word. There's incredible power in what you say, folks. And we need to be aware of that. If we're going to move to new levels of faith, we have to watch what we say. Speaking of the power of words, a husband and wife were getting ready for bed. And the wife was standing in front of a full-length mirror taking a long look at herself. She said, you know, dear, I look in the mirror and I see an old woman. My face is all wrinkled. My hair is grey. I've got fat legs. And my arms are flabby. She turned to her husband and she said, tell me something positive to help me feel better about myself. He thought about it for a while. And then he said in a soft, thoughtful voice, well, darling, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. Because he wanted to be positive. She'd say 3 days later, the funeral took place for the husband. But there's power in what you say. So what are you saying? Are you speaking in agreement with God's word, or are you speaking in agreement with your problem? Are you speaking in agreement with the lies of the devil, or are you speaking in agreement with the promises of God? You choose. You want to go to another level? Be careful what you say. That's not denying problems. That's not denying issues. Faith is not about denying that there's a situation. A lot of people got confused about that. I used to preach only on faith in the first 8 or 9 years of my serving the Lord, because a lot of people got confused about faith. They thought faith meant you can't admit there's an issue. Well, of course you can. If there's an issue, there's an issue. But you see, that may be the fact that there's a problem, but the truth is, in Jesus, there's a solution. So the fact may be that I had a growth in my body, but the truth is, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. So am I going to believe the fact or the truth? Because Jesus said, the word is truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never, never, never pass away. So what are you going to agree with? Something that's temporary or something that's eternal? So when I agree and speak the word of God, I'm speaking something that's eternal. It's never going to pass away. Whatever's happening in my body, that's going to pass away. It's going to change. Something's going to happen. But his word is eternal. So I chose 41 years ago to say, I will agree with that which is eternal, which is your word. So when we would have no money in the bank, and we've had plenty of times like that, trust me, literally, we've actually sat round meal tables praying for food to come in. I could share all sorts of stories about that. My children could share stories about that, how they sat with mum and dad holding hands and saying, Father, we're just praying that we get some food to eat today. And there'd be a knock at the door and someone would bring food, and all sorts of different miracles took place. But what we decided, that we'd raise our children to acknowledge the fact but speak the truth. So, for example, I'd say to my daughter when she was young, she'd come in the middle of the night and say, Daddy, my tummy's hurting. That's a fact. It's not faith to deny it's hurting. It's a fact. But we taught them, but by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. So we would pray. My son would have something go wrong and he'd say, Dad, that's happened, but I know that Jesus Christ died to heal me. So we chose to put the truth over the fact. Are you with me? So you've got to speak the word of God. You want to go to deeper levels. You've got to agree with God's word, not your circumstance. Agree with God's word. In Joshua chapter 6, as we wrap up now, Joshua chapter 6, a great account. If you don't know the story, the people of God are walking through the land, getting victory after victory, and they come up against this place called Jericho. And the walls of Jericho are big and strong, and they don't know how they're going to take the city. So God tells them, how many were here yesterday at the conference? Just wave at me. You remember I said that sometimes you do the ridiculous to see the miraculous? Here's another story that's ridiculous. Because what does God say? He says, well, get some battering rams, get some major weapons, maybe some F-16s and a few helicopters and... You know what he says to them? It's ridiculous what he says to them. He says, how are we going to take the walls? How are we going to take the city? It's ridiculous. Walk around the walls. Come on, think about it. How ridiculous is that? At least can't we fire a couple of grenades in there or something? No, walk. And by the way, don't say anything. Why? Let me tell you why, because they would have been negative. They would have been walking around saying, this is stupid. This is ridiculous. Who ever heard of winning a battle by walking around a wall? I'm getting tired. I'm fed up. This is the third day, and all we've done is walk, walk, walk. When are we actually going to do something positive? They didn't realize they were doing something positive. They were doing what God told them to do, which is always positive. And so he said, I want you to walk in silence. Because he knew that their confession would become negative. And so they walk 6 days, nothing happening, but they walked in obedience. They could have got weary. By the fourth day, oh, what about you? You fed up with this? This is unreal, man. I've never done this before in my life. How long do you think we'll do it? I don't know. Hopefully this is the last day. Wake up next morning. What are we doing today? Walk. Hallelujah. So they walk and they walk and they walk. They had to take their thoughts captive. They had to take their words captive. See, because the devil's going to try and mess with your mind. When God says, do this, the devil's going to say, that's ridiculous. You say, oh, well, I must be set up for a miraculous. Because when God tells me to do the ridiculous, he's about to release the miraculous. He told Pete, get out of the boat, walk on water. Ridiculous. People don't walk on water. That's ridiculous. But you see, he was being set up to see the miraculous. And so they walk and they walk. They walk for 6 days, not saying anything. They walk by faith in God's word, and they persevere because they have the word of God. And I want to tell you, it was on the final step of the seventh day, the final step, not halfway through, the final step in obedience to the word of God that he said, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to shout. I want you to shout. Our praise goes up. The rain comes down. In this case, our praise goes up. The walls come down. See? And notice something. They were to shout before the miracle. See, lots of Christians will shout after the miracle. But God's kingdom works in a different way. And he says to them, I want you to shout before you get your miracle. That's faith. That's anticipation. That's expectation. That's obedience. That's trust. That's going deeper. Because in the natural, get my miracle, give God glory. No, in the supernatural, give God the glory, get the miracle. His kingdom works differently. And so on the seventh day, the last step, they release a sound of praise and a sound of victory. And what happens? The walls come tumbling down. And they went deeper into the territory, deeper into the promises of God, deeper into the experience of his promises being released and fulfilled over their lives. They would step deeper into the miraculous because they watched the walls come down. They saw this incredible miracle because they walked in obedience. They focused on God. They listened to his word. They trusted and obeyed. They did what he told them. And as a result, they saw the miracle. That's how they got their breakthrough. That's how you'll get your breakthrough. That's how you're going to get your breakthrough. As you focus on God, as you praise and worship, as you go to new levels of faith, you're going to get your breakthrough. See, God wants you to break through. Is that good news? God wants you to break through. Amen. God's not holding you out. He wants you to break through. He wants you to break through. Time after time, he wants you to break through. I've got so many stories going through my mind of our own personal encounters with God. Let me just share this one, try and make it really quick, because then I want to pray with folk. But we do a lot of conferences in Africa, and Heather and I raise the money. We walk by faith. I'm not bragging on anything, but we're not paid by any church. We're not paid by an organization. We're not paid by any ministry. We trust God every week. We have no idea what money we'll have next week. Father knows that. That's where it is. We have absolutely no idea week to week what money we will have. But we walk like that for most of our Christian life, so you know, we just trust God and see what comes in. And he's never let us down yet. How many of you know God is a good God? Amen. He promises to look after his kids. What father doesn't look after his kids in a good way? And he's always looked after us. And so anyway, we then, in addition to needing our own finances for our own living expenses, we also raise money many times, particularly in Africa, for all our crusades. And sometimes we're raising lots and lots of thousands of dollars so we can go do the crusade and we can feed those that attend. Sometimes we'll have 1,000 people, 1,500 people, depends what sort of thing we're doing, and we feed them for 3 or 4 days. We raise the money personally. We do all of that kind of stuff with the help, praise God, now of some great supporters. And anyway, one time I used to take all the cash with me to the country, and then we'd exchange it whilst I was there, and then we'd go buy all the things that we needed. And I took American dollars this one particular time a few years back. And we got into Kenya, and I said to the folk, we need to go to the banks and change the thousands and thousands of dollars so we can feed the 1,000 people that are coming for 3 days and house them and all that kind of thing. We went to the bank, and the bank said, can't exchange them. I said, what do you mean? They're American dollars. They said, exactly. If you'd brought Aussie dollars, we'd have probably done it. But there'd been a Nigerian scam in the country, and literally they had scammed on American dollars. And so now the banks in Kenya were not accepting American dollars because there'd been such a big, big scam. I mean, millions of dollars had gone astray. And so we called a money changer in Uganda who was a Christian that we knew. and said, can you come across to the border? So he came across to the border of Kenya, and we should have told him why. But anyway, when he got there, we said, we want you to exchange these American dollars for us. We've got thousands of dollars. We've got to use them to feed all the people that are coming. And he looked and he said, I can't take them. We've got the same problem in Uganda. We're not accepting American dollars right now. So here I am. Make the story as short as I can. We got no money and we got 1,000 people. We told them we'll feed them, we'll host them, we'll accommodate them for 3 days. 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner. We've promised them that. So we've got to honor our promise, but we got no money. So we come to the first morning and the leaders of the conference who are overseeing it for me, they say, what are we going to do, Pastor? I said, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to pray. They said, but how are we going to feed them? I said, I don't know. I'm going to pray. So anyway, I prayed, and then I got called away to something, and we started the first meeting, and then it came to lunchtime, and they said, how are we going to feed them, Pastor? I said, I don't know. Pray. I go, no, that's it. Pray. And so that went on. But anyway, let me just back up on that, because what happened was, by the evening of the first day, 3 meals, they came to me and said, Papa, where did all the food come from? I said, what food? They said, the food that we've given them for the 3 meals today. You had no money. How did you manage it? I said, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. And just make the story really short. For 3 days, we had 9 meals for 1,000 people, and nobody to this day knows where the food came from. Praise God. I have no idea. Even when I go back now, they say, do you remember, Papa, when we fed 1,000 people and nobody knew where the money came from? Apparently, every mealtime, the food was sitting there in the storehouse waiting to be cooked. I have no idea. Praise God. See, he's a good God. He's a good God. Come on, give the Lord another big clap. He deserves it. He wants us to break through. He wants us to break through. He wants us to break through. Now, I didn't go the next year and say, well, I won't take any money. I'll leave it to God, because that's called presumption. But when you need it, God comes through, and he wants you to break through. We're going to pray for some people here today, because you need a breakthrough. You might need a breakthrough in your body. You might need a breakthrough in your health. You might need a breakthrough in a relationship. You might need a breakthrough in a job situation. You may need a breakthrough from your past. I don't know what it is. But we're going to play a song up on the screen here. And I'm going to invite you, if you need a breakthrough today, you say, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to stay focused. I'm not going to moan about my situation. I'm going to praise and worship God. I'm going to shout before the walls come down. We're going to play a video, guys, for now anyway. And I'm going to make a choice that I'm just going to put him in the place of priority. So if you need a breakthrough, if you've been around the weekend, you know I don't make long appeals. I just invite people and leave it at that. That's how I've done it for years. Because if Holy Spirit's working, then he's going to bring you out. I don't need to. But if you need a breakthrough, I'm going to invite you, come stand at the front. You need a breakthrough in healing. You need a breakthrough in finance. You need a breakthrough in relationship. Maybe something going on with your mind. You need a breakthrough. Come out of your chair right now, and we're going to pray with you and believe for breakthroughs to happen in your life this morning. Just put the sound up a bit. Stirring here in me, deep is calling out to deep. Take me from where I've been into something. God wants to take you into something new. Give up control. We heard that this morning. You need a breakthrough. He's your breakthrough. He's your breakthrough. He's your breakthrough. Just take it a little bit higher as well. I'd like this to really crash out through the building. He's your breakthrough. He's your breakthrough. Take one step forward, if you would, please. Come forward one step. Thank you. Ministry team, leaders, if you come join me right now. He's the master of breakthroughs. He's the master of breakthroughs. He's the master of breakthroughs. Take me from where I've been into something new. I'm giving up. Give up control. I need a breakthrough. All of My dreams and fears are crashing into Him. He is your breakthrough. Who's your breakthrough? Jesus is your breakthrough today. Jesus is your breakthrough. We're going to come and pray with you, and we're going to agree for you to have a breakthrough. We're going to believe for you to get your breakthrough today. Don't focus on anybody else except Jesus. He's your breakthrough. He's your breakthrough. Okay, leaders, let's begin to pray. Let's just go. We're going to believe and pray. We're going to believe and pray. Thank you, Father. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the Master of breakthrough. You're the Master of breakthrough. And thank you. Today we speak breakthrough. We release breakthrough. We release breakthrough today. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. You're the Master of breakthroughs. Oh, I thank you for breakthrough in this life today in the name of Jesus. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough, Father. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough, Father. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. He's the Master of breakthrough. He's always bringing breakthroughs. It's what He does. He brings breakthroughs. He brings breakthroughs. This is your weekend of breakthroughs. This is your weekend of breakthroughs. Breakthroughs, 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 breakthroughs. Breakthrough, breakthrough. This is your moment. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. This is your time. Hallelujah. This is your time for breakthrough. This is your time. Breakthrough. 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 This is it. This is your moment. These are your moments of breakthrough. My sister, this is it. Breakthrough. 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 He is your breakthrough. He's not only the Master of breakthrough, He is the breakthrough. We release breakthrough. I release breakthrough right now. I release breakthrough right now in your life. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. We're speaking breakthrough over your life today. Breakthrough. He's the Master of breakthrough. He's the God of breakthrough. He's the God of breakthrough. Receive your breakthrough. Breakthrough in healing. Breakthrough in finance. Breakthrough in relationship. Breakthrough in emotion. Breakthrough from your past. Freedom. He's the Lord of the breakthrough. We speak breakthrough. We speak breakthrough. We speak breakthrough today. Breakthrough. 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 Oh, Lord, let the breakthrough come. Let the breakthrough crash into them. Crash into them with your breakthroughs. Crash in with your breakthroughs. Crash in with your breakthroughs, Father. Hallelujah. We're going to keep playing that song. Lord, breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Oh, I thank you. You're the Lord of the breakthrough. You're the Lord of the breakthrough, the Master of breakthrough. And I declare breakthrough over this life. Breakthrough right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we break off every stronghold, every lie of the enemy. We break it off right now. Release breakthrough in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Oh, we're crashing into you, Lord, into your word, into who you are. You're the Master of breakthroughs. We declare breakthroughs right now. Breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Whatever's going on, whatever the situation and the circumstance, thank you. You're the Master of breakthroughs. You're the Master of breakthroughs. You're the Master of breakthroughs. We thank you for that breakthrough that you're bringing right now, Father. We release her into another area of breakthrough, another place of breakthroughs. Thank you. Breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. Thank you, Father, for breakthroughs, 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 breakthroughs. Lord of the breakthroughs, breakthrough now. Lift up your hands to receive. Lift up your hands to receive. Lift them up high. In the name of Jesus, breakthrough. In the name of Jesus, breakthrough right now. Breakthrough. Thank you for your breakthroughs, Father, that are being released into lives and situations, into circumstances. Thank you for the breakthroughs. Thank you for the breakthroughs, Father. We're believing. We're believing. We're believing. Thank you, Father, for breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in these young lives. Breakthrough in these young lives. Breakthrough. 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 Lord, thank you for breakthroughs. You're the God of breakthroughs. You're the Master of breakthroughs. And I thank you for breakthroughs that you're releasing. Releasing right now. I need a breakthrough. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray. those breakthroughs, those new places that Father has for you. So I pray now, breakthroughs. Thank you for breakthroughs, Father. Thank you for the releases in her life. She's going to break through. She's going to break out. She's going to break free. She's going to break to new levels, new realms, new dimensions in your spirit. Lord, it's time. I release her now. I release a new boldness, a confidence, a new grace upon her life. Breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Lord, I lift off her every sense of any fear, intimidation. I break it off her right now and I release her into breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you. Yes, Lord. Breakthrough into those new realms, into those new areas. New releases, new anointing, new freedom. Thank you for the breakthroughs, Father. Thank you for breakthroughs. Thank you for breakthroughs. Oh, we thank you for the breakthroughs that are taking place. Thank you for the breakthroughs that are taking place. Thank you for the breakthroughs that are taking place in these times. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're the God of breakthrough. 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 Thank you for breakthroughs right now. Breakthroughs, breakthroughs, breakthroughs. Release her into everything that you have for her, everything you want to do for her. With her, in her, to her, through her. Thank you for breakthrough, breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you, Father. Lord, right now, breakthrough, breakthrough. It's a new place, new areas, new realms. There's so much more. You want to lift her out of what is into what you have for her. You want to break her free from the past and release her into your future. Lord, I break her free now in the name of Jesus. I break her out of those areas of shadow and darkness over her life. I blow them away by the power of your Spirit. I release her from the grip of those things, and I release her into her future, which is bright. I thank you for that release now. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Break out, break out, break free, break free. Break free from the past, the chains that would seek to hold you. I set you free now. I release you into your future that God has promised. Future of hope and joy and peace and life. Adventure in Jesus. I release you into that. God of breakthrough. 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 Thank you, Lord. Breakthrough. 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 Let your power be released. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the God of breakthrough. Thank you, Father. Thank you, you're the God of breakthrough. Let's play it once more again. Let's go once more. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Don't give up. Don't get tired. Father's still working. Father's still moving. Things still happening. People are breaking out, breaking free, breaking through. As you're still here in the building with us, we're still going. If you want, why don't you stand to your feet? Why don't you enter in now? Don't just tune out. Don't switch off. Enter in right now and say, these last couple of minutes of this meeting, I'm going to break through as well. Even if I didn't get prayer, I'm going to go out of those doors with a new attitude, a new mindset, a new belief. There must be more. There must be more. There's always more. There must be more. Just reach out where you are. Just rise to your feet and let's worship Him and honor Him and recognize He is the breakthrough. He is the breakthrough. You can push through or you can sit and watch. But as we push through, we get our breakthrough. See, Paul and Silas weren't passive. They didn't just sit and wait to see what happened. They shifted the atmosphere. They shifted the environment. They were intentional. They did something. So come on, press through now. Just enjoy. Just let Holy Spirit release to you, release into you, release to you, release through you. This sense of breakthrough. Father, whatever I've got to face when I go out those doors, whatever I've got to go back to, you're the God of breakthrough. You're the master of breakthrough. I'm going to see breakthrough, whether it's going to be today, tomorrow, the next day. It doesn't matter. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to speak words of faith and power in agreement with your word. And I'm going to see the breakthrough. He promises to be the God of breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Come on, take me from where I am into something new. Give up control. Oh, let Him be the breakthrough. crashing into him. You are my breakthrough. You are my breakthrough. Jesus, you are my breakthrough. Father God, you're my breakthrough. You're the God of breakthrough. You're the Lord of the breakthroughs, time and time and time again. You're the Lord of the breakthroughs. He wants to bring breakthrough. Receive it. Reach out. If you need a miracle, reach out to him and say, thank you, I'm going to break through. I'm going to break through. He's making all things new. Yes, Lord, you're my breakthrough. Hallelujah. You're making all things new. Hallelujah. It's what you always do. You are a breakthrough. Take me from where I've been. Yes, Lord. It's always something new. Every day there's something new. New every morning. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for breakthroughs today. Thank you, Lord, that all our hopes and dreams, they crash into you. They find release. They find relief. Because you're the master of breakthroughs. And you're taking us into something new. That's what we've been focused on since Friday evening. Probably before that as well, but specifically focused into going deeper, breaking into something new. And you want to take us there. You don't send us there. You lead us. You say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thanks be to God who leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. He leads us in triumph. We want to follow you. So, Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for this opportunity to step into breakthrough. Lord, we're going to be like your people of old. We're going to walk. We're going to shout. We're going to see the victory. Not going to wait till we get the victory to shout. We're going to shout before we get it. 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 We're going to give him praise before we get it. Because he's the God of breakthrough. You know, when I'm walking around those walls the fourth day, he's still the God of breakthroughs. When I go to the fifth day and I haven't seen it come down, he's still the God of breakthrough. He was a God of breakthrough when I start walking. He's a God of breakthrough when I finish walking. He's always a God of breakthrough. Hallelujah. And we're going to give him a shout. We're going to give him a praise. So come on the shout, count of three. I want you to give a big clap and a big shout to the Lord. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you go.
Praise God.